And a hello to you. Welcome to the Code Red Devils podcast. This is Cody Code Red Decker with you introducing this brand new podcast. I really appreciate you tuning in as we get going here. And what a great time to start this Devils podcast as we come out of the Four Nations tournament and we enter the home stretch of the regular season here in the 24-25 year. And what a time it is, the home stretch, like I said, and the Devils fighting to stay in a playoff spot. We're going to get to the Devils in just a little bit here and talk about where this roster is at because they're not fully healthy, and talk about the standings and where they are now, what they have to do to climb, what they have to do to just stay in a playoff spot because it's a very jammed up playoff mix right now. And we'll also talk about this week's games as well. I'm also going to, at the end of each episode, we're going to go into the power play. And this first one's going to be about the namesake behind this podcast because Code Red is my nickname. And it comes from a very special place from when I was a young kid. And that's going to be our story today during the power play. So we will touch on that. I want to begin by talking about the Four Nations face-off since we are coming out of that tournament, and what a spectacular tournament that was. I mean, hockey fans, you really shouldn't be any more happy with how that was. There was a lot of speculation going in to the week and a half that was the Four Nations tournament, and there were a lot of questions. Were these guys going to play hard? You know, were they going to treat this like an all-star game? And it was far from an all-star game. I mean, you're talking about that three-on-three tournament that, you know, the All-Stars used to play. That is now a thing of the past. That is a total 180 from where we are now with this Four Nations format. And obviously, when you talk about the NHL wanting to get that international flair back in the game as international players are getting back to the Olympics next year, I mean, that's going to be something to keep an eye on. And it was just a great tone to see in the Four Nations face-off. Four really good teams, four very competitive teams. And that could have easily been U.S. and Canada going out in the round robin, dominating two games, and then that toss-up between the two of them was going to be a toss-up, as I just said. And the U.S. and Canada just seemed to, you know, really put it out there in that game. That was a high-intense game. Three fights in the first 9 seconds. I mean, you can't really draw it up better than that as far as getting back to a rivalry like that. But just an overall great tournament. Really good performance by the U.S. in the round robin, getting that win against Canada. That ultimately, I think, gave them the betting odds to go out and win the championship game, and unfortunately they come up short in overtime. But what a game. What a game in that final. 3-2 overtime win for Canada. It ends up being Connor McDavid with the game winner. And again, just a back-and-forth game and an even game through and through. You're talking about a U.S. team that was beat up, obviously. Matthew Tkachuk couldn't finish the game. Charlie McAvoy ended up having an infection in his shoulder that ended up being a terrible injury, and he's going to miss a lot of time for Boston now. We're going to get to that a little bit later, too. But, I mean, just a really great final. Back-and-forth. Canada got the first lead, and U.S. getting the second lead in the second period, and ultimately coming down to sudden death overtime, that 5-on-5, 20-minute format. I mean, with the U.S. beat up like that, you had to think going into that overtime that Canada's got the advantage, especially with all of their ability, talent. I mean, McKinnon, McDavid, Crosby, Makar coming back was huge for them. Just a phenomenal team there, a lot of talent, and that's going to be fun to watch next year in the Olympics. If those two end up in a gold medal game, having to play each other in a group play format, that would be something to see for sure. So just an exciting game in that final, like I've been saying. Overall, the tournament, according to ESPN, the finals had a viewership of 9.3 million fans and a peak of 10.4. They had 6.8 million in Canada, It's the most viewed game on ESPN since the 2024 NBA Finals, and that had a 4.3 average of 4.3 million on ESPN. So it's the most watched game in 30 plus years, according to a post by Made in Canada on X. Most watched hockey game, that is, in 30 plus years. So you had fans come in and invest in spending time watching these games, that final especially, really just brought some life back into the game of hockey. And as a hockey fan, for me, that's very, very exciting to see. You're talking about a season where, you know, we've had a few dominant teams, but you've got a lot of teams still in the mix. It's going to be an exciting finish. But I don't know if the game of hockey had as much attention to it, and it's going to have probably more attention to it now going forward in the rest of this season, coming off of a successful Four Nations. I mean, you can't really call this any stretch of a failure at all, because, I mean, I think the league is impressed with how many eyes were on it on TV, streaming platforms, and just the reception that they had in Boston, in Montreal. The fans were incredible. I have not heard an arena like that. The U.S. fans serenading Jordan Binnington in that final, cheering for USA. The booing of the national anthems, which I know has a political side to it, and I really don't want to touch that, but gave a little more to the game. That's something you cannot avoid and ignore, the fact that there was this huge rivalry between the U.S. and Canada, and that was being reborn in that first game. Definitely something you can't ignore, but obviously there's reasons behind it. How about the physicality of this tournament? These guys came to play. They knew exactly what was on the line here. I mean, we haven't seen international hockey from NHL players in a long time. They knew what that responsibility was of putting that sweater on with your country's colors and flags, all of the symbols of your country. Representing your team on the national stage means so much to these players. They voiced it and they showed it. And that's ultimately what the NHL wanted to do and wanted to accomplish. And they understood the assignment. And when I talk about the physicality, one particular play in the whole tournament that stands out to me is when Brady Tkachuk and Nico Mikkola in the U.S.-Finland game collided by the bench. They ended up, Tkachuk ended up delivering a hit to Mikkola, and then they ended up on top of each other on the ground. That was kind of the tone setter for me as far as the tournament was concerned. Canada and Sweden, the game before, were definitely physical, but when you're talking about setting the tone for physicality, I mean, the Tkachuk brothers were excellent. I haven't gotten to watch them much, but the fact that they were as physical as they were, they wanted this to mean something. So you really have to tip your hats off to the players for playing as hard as they did. Nathan MacKinnon ends up with the MVP of the tournament, 4 goals and a power play goal. Great for 4-game span. I mean, MacKinnon played excellent. The Canadians, obviously winning the whole thing, played great. Like I said, a lot of talent. And for Jordan Binnington in the tournament, he makes 31 of 33 saves in the final in the 3-2 overtime win. 4 games played in the tournament, 2.37 goals against and a 907 save percentage. So we'll have to see for the Blues, for Jordan Binnington, if this ends up being a spark for him. If that's a team that can kind of get themselves back into the fold, or are they too much out of it? Player I'm most impressed by in the tournament that just kind of caught my eye and I couldn't really stop watching is the defenseman Zach Werenski for the U.S. Obviously led the tournament in points with 6, all 6 assists. He had a +3 in the tournament as well. So you're talking about a guy that what really impressed me, I very much appreciate more the defensemen who jump into the play on offense, who make themselves known, who will crash into the net for a rebound, who, you know, maybe take that extra chance instead of staying back towards the line. As long as you're able to recover, I find having that extra defenseman play as a forward in those moments can lead to goals, can lead to those garbage time goals, you know, can lead to another pass here and there to give yourself another opportunity. That's something that I think is unmatched, and I really appreciate the game of an offensive defenseman. So Werenski does an incredible job in that tournament. He played really well. On a Columbus team that is also in the mix, I'd be curious to see how he does going forward. Looking at the Devils in this tournament, Jack Hughes gets an assist. He had 11 shots in four games. He ended up with a zero rating. You know, one thing that I'll kind of criticize about the U.S., and I know, like we said, they had the injuries. Matthew Tkachuk, McAvoy, some other guys were banged up during the games. I know Trocheck, I think, had a hand injury at some point. Brady was a little on the fence as far as health was concerned in a game there. But Jack was a guy that needed to play well. And hearing the analysts, they said he was playing well. 11 shots is a lot for four games. You know, he made himself known, and he had to play well playing with Austin Matthews most of the time and being that top six forward. You know, I think the talent level, just as you go down that USA roster, I think the top six was a lot different than the bottom six once they figured out, ooh, let's put the Tkachuk on the top. Tkachuk's on the top line, and we'll filter Jack into the second maybe, or whatever configuration that was for Mike Sullivan. You know, Jack had to play well in this tournament, and I think he played well. He had his moments. I personally believe, and this might be unpopular opinion, that Jack Hughes turns the puck over way too much. And maybe it's just the way I'm seeing it, but I still think Jack has some work to do as far as puck handling is concerned. I feel like he turns the puck over way too much. I think it's a part of his game that needs to improve, especially down the stretch here for this season and just going forward in his career, because he's still a pretty young player. Looking at some of the other Devils in this tournament, Jesper Bratt had a goal and an assist, had a plus one rating. He had the game winner against the U.S. in game three for Sweden. Really good moment for Bratt. Talking about players that were playing for their country and really embraced that opportunity and took advantage of that experience. Bratt's one of those guys, and they had to lean on him. It's no secret that the Swedes and the Finns were not as offensively talented as the Canadians and the Americans. And when you don't have as much offensive talent as those teams, sometimes one guy can shift the tide. And Bratt was that guy for the Swedes, and they played some terrific games. You know, I think the Swedes had two overtime losses, beat the U.S. You know, they played really, really well. And that's a team I'd watch for in the Olympics next year as a little of a wild card. And they're going to depend on Bratt to be really good in international competition. And then Erik Haula was also in this tournament, didn't get on the score sheet, but he plays three games, ends up with a minus two rating. Again, the Finns just not as good of a team as maybe the others were, but Erik Haula getting that experience on the international stage, that's nice to see. So a really good Four Nations tournament. I really think that this is something the NHL needs to keep doing, maybe get some other nations involved. But this was a good start. This was a great start, really. Good is underselling it. This was a great start for this Four Nations tournament. Really good competition. Really good teams. Really talented players getting on the ice. That best on best is something that we need to appreciate seeing as hockey fans. And I'm sure there are hockey fans out there, the pessimists out there who are probably saying, oh, well, you know, you put the best on best now in the middle of a season, and there's guys hurt. Matthew Tkachuk is going to be out for, you know, however long. Charlie McAvoy is probably going to miss the rest of the season. I mean, it's something that, you know, I'm sure the league considered. But ultimately, this was about springboarding into the Olympics next year, because the NHL players are going to get to go back and play in the Olympics, which I think is great. You need to have international competition that is representative of the best of the best. That's what the Olympics are there for. You get the best people in the world, the best athletes in the world, battling it out in all different events. That's what the Olympics are for. So, really great start for the Four Nations. Excited to see where it goes going forward. And, again, a great tone setter for the Olympics. All right, so coming out now of the Four Nations face-off, the regular season continues in the NHL, and the Devils have 25 games left going into this second half, we'll call it, of the regular season. The Devils now at 57 games played, 68 points in the Metropolitan in third place, and we're going to go over the current situation in the conference, wild cards, and who else could be in the mix as well. But the Devils should be happy that they're sitting in the third place spot right now. But I want to get to the roster because obviously we just talked about it. Hughes, Bratt, Holla all coming back from the Four Nations. And the Devils are not fully healthy. And we know that. So looking at the roster and where things are at right now, Nico Hischier was the big question mark coming out of the break because he's been dealing with an injury. And were they going to get Nico back in time? You know, and they really need him. They obviously really need him. You're talking about a player that's, you know, tied for the league goals lead on the team with Jack. And just an important face-off guy. I mean, he's having his best year. So you need him. You really need him in the lineup. Good news as we record this. The Devils had a skate this morning. Jack Hughes was there. Nico also there. And Sheldon Keefe confirming that Nico is going to play in tonight's game against the Dallas Stars. So now Nico comes back into the fold, which is nice. Amanda Stein, the team reporter, reporting that this forward group is going to be the healthiest it's been for a long time. You're going to pretty much have everybody that you're supposed to have. So that's a really good sign. Nico back and Jack back off of the Four Nations faceoff was on the ice this morning. So that's good. Some other comments that Keith had made yesterday. Initially, he was kind of like, we'll see where he's at. This morning, able to say that Nico's able to go. Now, Jacob Markstrom, the goaltender, who could not play in the Four Nations faceoff because of an injury. He is still recovering. He's still on the mend. He's not back yet and won't be back for now to this Devils team. Had a partial practice with the team on Friday. He started practice but then came off. Sheldon Keefe saying he's making his way towards full participation in practice. So we're closer to that, but we're not very close to him playing yet. And so with that move, Nico Daws is up from Utica to back up Jake Allen. And they're going to need Daws because they come out of this break with a back-to-back situation where they're playing at home tonight on Saturday against Dallas. And they're playing tomorrow, Sunday, in Nashville. So they have to travel tonight and then go into a game with Nashville. So Nico Daws is going to play. I would assume that tonight, Saturday, we'll see Jake Allen go against Dallas. Dallas is the playoff team. Really good squad this year. probably, I think, top five in points. So second in the Central as well. So I'm sure we'll see Jake Allen tonight. And, you know, he's going to be extremely important for the Devils going forward, because without a clear timeline of knowing when Jacob Markstrom's going to come back, thank God we have Jake Allen. You know, we, as I am a Devils fan, so I understand, and Devils fans understand all these years previously where we were in goalie limbo. I mean, we had nowhere to go. We just kind of had two guys out there. Since Mackenzie Blackwood was the starter, we only had so many goalies. We're going through them, giving all these guys opportunities to just play. And now we have two solid goaltenders. We have an A and a B. That's so nice to have. So nice to have. And Jake Allen has played great this year. 2.56 goals against, 9.12 save percentage. He's got 9 wins in 21 games played. He's got 4 shutouts. I mean, on the surface, Jake Allen has all the intangibles in the world to be a solid goaltender. And we should be happy that he's our backup. We really should. Shouldn't be taken for granted at all. So Jake Allen is our one right now. So we need him to play well. The defense in front of him is a little bit of a concern going forward, I would say. Now, you don't want to judge a book by its cover, but I'm essentially going to do that anyway, because we come back from the Four Nations break down Jonas Siegenthaler. Sheldon Keefe came out on Tuesday and said that it's a lower body injury for Siegenthaler and that he's going to have to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. So he's out probably at least a month. You know, we're going to have to see how that pans out. Siegenthaler's been a great Devil. Has played extremely well, has been reliable, has been a guy that the Devils have leaned on, especially when our defenseman depth has been questioned over the last few years. And finally this year, we got some help with some more veterans. So looking at Siegenthaler quickly as the final injury, that's the last injury on the report. Otherwise, the Devils are healthy. Again, it's going to be a big loss because now we have to lean on our younger defensemen. That's how this is going to have to go. Simone Nemec is up. He'll probably play in a third line with Luke Hughes. That's how it lined up yesterday in practice. A guy who has NHL experience, some of it, but is going to need to get his legs under him. So that's going to be something that is worth watching. Hopefully Nemec plays well. Hopefully him and Luke are on a good page. Obviously, we have Hamilton. We have Pesci. We have Brendan Dillon. So we have those guys to lean on. And then Seamus Casey's also up here. So we'll see if he gets some playing time, especially with these back-to-back games in the fold over the next 2 weekends. So that's kind of a look at the roster reset. That's the injury situation and kind of where we're at as far as our important players to watch and our health at this point. As we come into these final 25 games of the regular season, just kind of looking at things statistically and players who we're going to need to play well and players that are not maybe making the cut and we're going to have to watch going forward. Jack and Nico both have 24 goals each. Those stats lead the team. Hughes has the points lead with 65. It all starts with those guys. This is who you built the team around. You know, I'm curious to see with Jack if that international competition and that speed of the game helps him to speed things up a little bit more coming back into tonight against Dallas and going forward with the NHL season, because I really believe that that Four Nations face-off, the tones of those games, the speed of those games may be a benefit for Jack. And hopefully he stays healthy from that, because now he's played a few extra games than everybody else will have. Jack needs to be healthy for this Devils team going forward. So it's definitely something to watch with him. And obviously Nico coming off the injury, maybe won't expect much, but a guy you need to step in and play well. Hopefully he can do it sooner rather than later. Jesper Bratt has the most assists on the team. He's got 47 of them and has the second most points on the team with 64 behind Jack. So, again, another player who you need to score the puck, needs to use his speed to his advantage. Anytime you can have Jack and Bratt on the ice, and I know they'll likely be together, you need those guys to play their absolute best. And they've played well to this point. And again, same thing with Brad as it is for Jack. Hopefully that Four Nations faceoff can kind of springboard him into a faster game and just become a tough matchup for opposing teams. I would think that final goal, the game winner against the U.S., can be used as a momentum boost for Jesper going into these final 25 games. We mentioned Jake Allen already, going to be important. When Nico Dawes gets his opportunities, it's going to be important. As you know, you tie that into a younger defense now with Siegenthaler are out. You might have situations where the goalies are going to have to make bigger and key saves in order to win. So Jake Allen is going to need to be at the top of his game. Nico Dawes is going to have to step in and put the Devils in a winnable situation. When you're talking about being on your third goaltender, your fourth goaltender sometimes, like we've seen in the past, the Devils need to lean on them playing well enough, making the big saves, key saves, and big moments to be able to win games still. As far as guys that I see needing more from, and I know this may be a point of contention, but I think we need to see more from Timo Meier. To me, that trade hasn't really worked out. This year so far, 15 goals, 23 assists, and 38 points. You know, good for, you know, forward production, especially when you have Jack and Jesper dominating ice time. But I think we need more from him. I really do. And I know he's had stretches this year where he's played very well, gotten on a point streak here and there, and that's totally fine. But this was a guy that was supposed to change the ability to score, the ability to create offense. And to me, we haven't seen that enough yet. And I think we wanted it badly when he came to the team. And we want it now in this home stretch. You know, guys, we can't just keep depending on Jack and Nico and Jesper to get the job done. You know, the depth needs to show through. The best teams have depth that can produce. So I think Timo needs to do more. And I'm still not there with Dawson Mercer. And I know he was a bit of a sticking point in the last offseason because, you know, the Devils wanted to get a deal done with him. But I think management might understand that the production is just not there. And it's still not there. 13 goals, 12 assists, 25 points on the year. It's not there. So those are two guys that I'm watching. If they can get going a bit and become problems for other teams, that's going to lead to maybe openings for Jack and Jesper and Nico. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. You know, these two need to step up. And I know it's hard to say, well, Cody, you're talking about five of your six forwards. You want them to play well. Five of your top six. I do. I do want them to play well. But with seeing the Devils sitting at 11th in goals for, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it against some of these good teams. So I'm asking for a little bit of a step up from those guys. you know, I don't need you to become the superstar. I don't need you to become the guy in the top six. We have those guys. But at least do your part. Do your part. Get your line together. Work hard. Go put yourselves in position to score goals. That's what I'm looking for Timo Meier and Dawson. All right, so now jumping into the standings, let's kind of see where things are and where we're headed with this Devils team. So looking at the Metropolitan Division, the Capitals have a firm lead at the top. They played 55 games, 80 points. The clear lead horse in this race for the Metropolitan Division. It's amazing to see the Capitals rebound from what was a down season last year. Ovechkin playing at the level he's playing and that team just gelling. You know, they always seem to be a problem, even last year when they weren't playing well. So they seem to cause fits, and interested to see how the Capitals come out of the gate here after the break. The Hurricanes, I got to tell you, they're a team that scares me. They're a team that scares me at 56 games played, 70 points, so they're 10 points off of the leaders. But they made that trade before the break for Mikko Rantanen and Taylor Hall. I mean, that offense just got so much better. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Capitals and the Hurricanes at one point are tied, close. There are rumors out there that the Hurricanes are going to trade Mikko Rantanen to try and get more. And it seems like a deal is not being worked out there. But the Hurricanes scare me. And obviously with the Devils, as I mentioned earlier, sitting at 56 games played, 57, I mean, 68 points. Two back is fine, but I don't know if I want to play the Hurricanes in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, I will take any opportunity to play in the playoffs that I can get, you know, regardless of opponent, but ultimately, I don't know if I want to be playing the Carolina Hurricanes in the first round. I just don't want to. I think that team's going to be fantastic out the gate here. If they hold on to Mikko, and, you know, I just can't wait to see that offense play. It should be exciting. And the Hurricanes were good before that trade. So, you know, if I'm the Devils, I don't want to be playing Carolina in the first round. Do we see what Carolina did to the Rangers last year? I mean, absolutely destroyed them. And then the Devils, too, in the next round. So, the Devils have some work to do if they want to try and climb this ladder. I don't know if they're going to be good enough in this 25-game stretch to be able to climb back up the ladder and try and make a run at the division itself, because I think the Capitals are too good, and I think the Hurricanes might be even better. So third place kind of makes sense to me for the Devils as far as where they're going to finish. It would take a major implosion for them to find themselves out of the playoffs. At least they put themselves in a pretty good position to be in the playoffs at this point. And I know it's pretty stacked in the wild card behind them. Looking at that right now, the Senators, 56 games played, 62 points. And the Red Wings have the second spot, 55 games played, 61 points. And Boston and the Blue Jackets both have 60 points. So that wild card is still very much up for grabs. You know, I think as long as the Devils take care of the opponents that they need to take care of, I think they'll be okay going forward. I trust that Sheldon Keefe is a really good coach. I don't think an implosion can happen under Sheldon Keefe. I just don't see that happening. And, you know, ultimately getting Markstrom back at some point will help this team. The moment we get Markstrom back and Jake Allen gets his opportunities where he's not playing in all of the big games, I think it's going to be much better for this team. So it might be a little bit painful coming out of the stretch here. But, you know, I think the Devils have themselves in a decent position. They're in a much better position than they were last year at this point. They had 62 points at this point. They have 68 now. And 62 is the mark right now where you're a wild card team. So they're in a much better position than they are right now. I'd much rather be ahead than in a wild card spot at this point or behind. I know that wild card in the East is jammed up. It's the same thing in the West. The Rangers are in the mix down there. So, you know, this is going to be a big push, especially for those wild card spots. So we're going to have to see how it goes. Hopefully the Devils are in a position where right now they just got to focus on getting in the playoffs. Don't worry about that matchup, like I said. There's just too much of the season left to worry about, specifically who you're going to play in that first round of the playoffs. But get in, make it happen, and we'll see what happens come playoff time. But there's still a lot to decide before we even get to that point. All right, so it's now time to take a look at what's coming up over the next week. Again, 25 games left in the season. The Devils begin at home against the Stars Saturday night, tonight, 6 o'clock. The Stars second in the Central with a 35-18-2 record. They've won 7 of their last 10. They have points in the 8 of their last 10. I mean, this is a team to be reckoned with in the West. So that's going to be a tough game to come out of the shoot with here, out of the break. And then after that, the Devils go on this 5-game, 12-day road trip. Didn't they have a – pretty sure they had a Western Conference swing earlier in the year, and now they have another one. This whole playing everybody really is taking a toll on teams. And really, for the Devils, it's unfortunate because they're coming out of a break. So they play this game against Dallas at home tonight, but now they have to go on the road for a while. So it's Nashville on Sunday in Nashville. Nashville's been awful this year. I mean, talk about one of the biggest disappointments in the NHL this year. Nashville's sitting at 19-28-7, adding Steven Stamkos, adding Jonathan Marchessault. I don't think Nashville expected to be playing this bad. They could be sellers here at the deadline and potentially starting over. So if you're going to get the second half of back-to-back, at least it's a team that's not playing well in Nashville. So I think that's something that we can look at. And then the rest of this week, it's Colorado on Wednesday, another good team, currently sitting in the first wild card spot in the West. But they have a 33-22-2 record. Nathan MacKinnon coming off of a really good tournament. Cale Makar making his presence known in the finals. That's a team that's, you know, going to be looking to make some headway here, try and climb up their own ladder, just like the Devils are trying to do. And, you know, obviously Nathan MacKinnon is somebody who's going to be worth watching in that game. And I'm sure the Devils are going to have a good scouting report on them. At least they have 2 days of rest there before playing another game. And then looking at the rest of the road trip just quickly, Utah next Saturday, Vegas next Sunday, and then Dallas again in Dallas on Tuesday. So this is going to be quite the stretch here. It's an important one. You know, I was looking at the rest of the schedule for the Devils in this last 25 games, and April is going to be an important month because you play a lot of division opponents. And now this is important coming out of the break. As I mentioned earlier, we should be thankful that the Devils are sitting in a top three spot in the division and they're playing ahead rather than trying to chase. I think it's much easier to play good, solid hockey where you're ahead and not behind. So this is going to be a good test for them. You know, when I look at that, you know, the Stars game tonight and the road trip going forward, you know, again, playing the Stars twice is tough. Vegas is going to be a tough team. Colorado is going to be a tough team. So you have 4 tough games in the next 6. I would say if you're talking about a road trip and 2 back-to-backs, you want to try and get out of there with a 3-3 record. I think that's safe to do. Anything more than a 3-3, I'd say, is a success. Anything less than that is not good for the Devils because ultimately at that point, you're probably looking at some teams that have already made up ground if you end up 2-4 or 1-5. And I don't think Sheldon Keefe's going to let that happen. I don't think he can allow this team to come out of the break in the position that they're in the standings going 2-5, or 2-4, 1-5. Can't happen. Truly can't happen for this team. And just looking at some other stats real quick as we pick things back up here in the season, the Devils are 11th in goals for. I think they need to score more if they're going to be a team that's going to be threatened and be threatened by going into this stretch. Their special teams have been excellent this year. They're third on the penalty kill. They're fourth on the power play. So, and they have been a much more disciplined team this year. 25th in penalty minutes in the year. So, you know, if this team continues to play disciplined, clean hockey, if they get their 5-on-5 opportunities, I can see this team playing well enough to at least stay in this third spot and maybe have a chance to climb if you build some momentum. But definitely want to see more goals scored by this team. That's where I said earlier, Meyer and Mercer need to make their presence known. At least give me one of those guys to jump in with the top three and make an impact, because I think they're talented enough to do that. And the Devils are fifth in goals against, like I said earlier, the goalies doing their job. I think that goals against mark is going to be tested here with a little bit of a younger D-core not having Siegenthaler. But, you know, and I forgot to mention earlier, Kovacevic is the fourth of the top four that's in that fold, who I've been impressed with this season. So this is a team that, again, this is an important stretch out the gate. You have things that you can build off of. You have marks that are good, but there are parts of your game that you need to improve if the Devils want to be decent. They don't want to be decent, obviously. They want to be good. They want to be a great team. And if they can shore up more offensive production, I think they can go to that great level. It's kind of where I'm at with them. All right, so we've talked about the Four Nations. We've talked about the Devils, where their roster is, where they are in the standings, and as far as their ability to climb, or if they end up falling, the work that's going to be done ahead of them. And we talked about the games that are happening this week. So we will talk about this week and preview the week after in our next episode. So make sure you come back and tune in for that. And now we are going to end with the power play. We're going to end with this pretty much every episode. Basically, I'm going to talk about something for 2 minutes. It'll probably be something Devils or hockey related most of the time. But today I'm going to tell you the Code Red story. Again, Code Red is a nickname that I have. And I'm going to take 2 minutes now to tell you that story. And feel free to keep track at home if I'm able to hit this 2 minutes. I've got a clock in front of me to make sure I'm not getting an extra man advantage out of this. So let's put 2 minutes on the clock, and that starts now. So the Code Red nickname, where did that come from? Obviously the namesake of this podcast. Code Red is a nickname that was given to me by a baseball coach growing up. I remember I was about 9 or 10 years old on a baseball team with a friend of mine, AJ, who I stay in touch with from time to time, and his dad was a coach with my dad. And so I remember showing up to the ballpark one day, and we were just kind of getting ready for the game. We had done our throwing. We had, you know, taken our rotations through the cage, and there were a few players still trying to get through that. And, you know, coach came up to me one day and said, you know, we need a nickname for you. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it'd be cool to have a little nickname to go by. You know, what should we make it? And we started doing some thinking. You know, I've been obviously called Codester a lot of the time. And there are probably a few other nicknames that I'm forgetting. My mom called me Codeth, like a royal king of sorts. So that nickname's been thrown out there. And coach ultimately decided on Code Red. And ever since, you know, being that 9 or 10 year old, getting that nickname, it stuck. And I remember growing up, I would see coach from time to time. You know, he had coached through soccer as well. And, you know, I grew up with AJ, and you know, had spent a lot of time together, growing up as friends and playing sports together, and Code Red stuck, and that's now the namesake of this podcast. It's a cool nickname. I like it, and it's one that I've gone by since I got it. So Code Red, my nickname, and now the name of this brand new Devils podcast. That is going to do it for this edition of the Code Red Devils podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Code Red Devils. So make sure you get onto our profiles. We'll have updates as the games go on. I'm going to be heading on to X for most games, and I'll be, you know, sending posts out as the games go on, just kind of give you my thoughts. So make sure you tune in for that, and we will put out some videos as well on our platforms. So make sure you tune in for those. Again, it's going to be at Code Red Devils. That's on Facebook, X, and Instagram. And if you'd like to reach out to me, is there something you want to hear on the show? Maybe you have an idea for our power play segment that you'd like me to talk about. You can email me. It's codereddevils@gmail.com. That's codereddevils@gmail.com. Again, when we come back next week, we'll talk about this past week. Again, we're looking at a three-game stretch until we record again. So we'll recap this game against the Stars tonight, the game against Nashville on Sunday, and the game against Colorado on Wednesday. And you can expect these podcasts to be uploaded on Friday or Saturday. So make sure you have your notifications on to be able to be alerted when the next podcast is up for your enjoyment. If you are listening to this on the RSS feed, we should be getting ourselves onto Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts. So you can find us there as well. Until next time, this is Cody Decker. Take care.